You should plant a tree, write a book, and have a child. That's the advice of the Talmud. You might wonder why. Perhaps it says because you can leave a legacy through this. Or perhaps it is that a child would change your life forever. There's a certain type of life that you would never experience unless you have a child. If you plan for a child, you plan for another way of living. A child carries a dream with it. And if you haven't planned for a child, you'll be confronted with the dreams that you have for your life. To dream something new. So we can say a child's a symbol of a dream. That's the reason why it's so hard if a child dies, a dream dies. And that is one of the most horrifying, difficult things in life to bear and to handle. The death of a child. In the passage we're looking at today deals with David losing his firstborn son, his dream. It's a difficult passage in the Bible, and especially the way they talk about men and God makes it difficult, and all of our understanding changed with Jesus. But we can still learn something from this passage. How David dealt with the loss of his son, his dream. We've been going through a very bad patch in life. With a pandemic, we've all lost something. A Harvard professor wrote that she thinks that it's the first time in history, definitely in our lifetime, that we all go through a huge loss together. We've all lost dreams. We've lost our livelihood, we've lost income, we've lost places, we've lost people in our lives. Relationships came to an end during this pandemic and through the pandemic. And the question is, what can we do about it? So here's three invitations from David. The first of all, accept tatata. So what does that mean? Well, one of the first words in your vocabulary was tata, goodbye. Actually, very interesting that this word comes from the Second World War. It is the British Army that started using the word to say goodbye. Soon the population started using it. And of course, because of the British influence, we ended up with this word, tata, which means goodbye. But it's actually from the word tatata, Sanskrit, Pali, Tibetan, and Chinese. This word actually means the suchness of life. It's the nature of life. So what it means is that to say goodbye, for things to come to an end, is the nature of life. And it is something that will happen to all of us. It's just the way that life operates. A way of life, an aspect of your life, is most probably coming to an end now. David says that while the child was still alive, I fasted and I wept and I thought, who knows? Who knows? God might help me. He never knew why it happened to him. So this is just a big invitation for us to accept the mystery of suffering. We don't know why. It's just what life is like. Rabbi Sacks just died recently, was the head rabbi in Britain for a number of years. Said that this is a question that we will never have the answer on. Why do we have to suffer? Why do the righteous suffer? We shouldn't know the answer to that question, he said. He said, God doesn't give us the answer to that question, because it will make us passive if we know why. We only have to accept it. This is how it is. Mary Oliver said, why does everything have to die? And always too soon. But here's the thing that we know. It is the nature of life, and we can't understand why it happens, but we know that it doesn't mean the end of life if something dies. It is the beginning of something new. Every time something dies or somebody dies, there's new life and something new is coming into being. And of course, our main image for this belief is what happened to Jesus. He suffered. He died on the cross and he was resurrected. He wasn't resuscitated, he was resurrected. He found a new life, received a new life. And his new life was better than his old life. So this is the first invitation. Just to accept the fact that suffering is a part of life. David did not ask, why did it happen to me, God? He didn't thought, well, it's because of my sin. Or, how can it happen to me? I'm better than most people. It shouldn't have happened to me. He just accepted it. And there's this deep belief that might be, yes, something good can still come of it. Your joy, your peace, your maturity depends on the acceptance and the belief that something good can come out of death. Otherwise, you'd be a bitter person. You would live with regret. You would blame other people. Why did you do it to me? Or a system or a government or something, because it shouldn't have happened to you. You can become very demanding and expect other people to give to you, to help you, to make you happy. Your future depends on it. Second invitation. Accept the end. That's what David did. David said, but now he's dead. He accepted it. Now to accept something is usually a process. It starts off with denial. I can't believe it happened. You can get stuck there. And there's people that stay in that place for the rest of their lives who refuse to move on. And the only way that you can move on is by mourning. Eventually, you can get to a place where you can accept it. And then you can let go of it. You can go through a phase of severe anger, bargaining. You can even bargain with God and say, God, I promise you, if you help me, if you just give it back to me, I'll serve you. I'll tithe, I'll pray, I'll do whatever you'd like me to do. But you can go through a phase of deep depression. And it's Kubler-Ross that actually identified some of these phases of mourning and of letting go in our lives. Sometimes we need to discern whether it isn't time to let go of something, to accept the death of a dream. I spoke to somebody once who was a rugby player. He was close to 40. And he was hanging on to his dream to become a professional rugby player. He nearly made it a few times. But through circumstances, was never able to make it. And his family and his wife, kids, parents, everybody is suffering and sacrificing to contribute to help him chase his dream. And they all believed he could do it. But close to 40, his wife said, I'm not prepared to go on with this marriage any longer. If you're not prepared to let go of your dream and accept the fact that you're not going to be a professional rugby player. It was at the crossroads of his life. And he said it was so difficult for him to let go of that dream. And sometimes perhaps it's because of all the stories that we hear about people that refused to let go and they just kept trying. Eventually, it all happened for them. But we should have the wisdom to discern, to let it go. And that's what David did. He moved to a place of acceptance. And we all mourn and let go in unique and different ways. David's friends had a problem with him. They said, how can you just go on with your life now since the child died? And he said, well, while he was alive, I wept, I cried, I mourned. I remember once children came to see me about their dad. They were very concerned and upset about him because it was only months after their mother's death that he started dating again. And they felt it so inappropriate. Didn't he love her? When I spoke to the dad, he felt so bad about it himself, you know, guilty about it. He said, but for a year I looked after her every day and she was in such pain. And when she eventually died, it was such a relief for me. I was so thankful for the end of her suffering. And I felt as if I was in a cage and eventually I was free to move on with my life. And he had his own unique way. And actually when his wife died, he finished the process of grieving already. And he was ready to move on. His children wasn't ready to move on yet. So we've got to, the second big invitation, we've got to accept and honor the functioning of our soul that hurts if we go through a loss. Even if it's just the loss of a dream, something that hasn't happened yet, it's real. And when we lose it, we need to cry. We need to mourn to let it go. Third important thing is to start again. David got up from the ground, washed his face, put on new clothes, went to his friends, had something to eat, and he went to the synagogue and he worshipped God. And then he went to his wife and he slept with her. And months later, Solomon was born. Here's a little picture of recovery, of somebody starting again. He started off small, little things. He just took care of himself. You know, he ate. And he started doing just little things that gave him life. And he interacted socially. He interacted and he did some things for his soul. He did some things for his spirit. He worshipped God again. And then he slept with his wife. Now, the road to recovery isn't and usually is not with a big bang. You can't wait until you have this exact big dream of the next phase in the future. And it usually happens while you're still in mourning. That was true for David. He had to console his wife when he visited her. It's a good indication the intensity and the frequency of your mourning sessions. If it isn't so severe, if it aren't so severe anymore, and it's not so overwhelming, and when it's further apart, those sessions from each other, it's a good indication you're on your way to recovery. And that's the invitation. The prophet said, look, I'm doing a new thing. It was a prophecy for Israel. They were in exile. They lost their homes. They lost their work. They lost their place of worship, couldn't get together, scattered all over. And the Lord said, in the midst of your great loss, I'm doing something new. You've lost your dream, but you haven't lost your life. It's not the end of your life. I've got some plans for you. There's things I want to do, places I want to take you to. Dimensions of life that you will experience now that you never would have experienced if it wasn't for your loss. I'm taking you there. Can you trust me? Can you trust me? So I don't know where you are at this moment. You might be battling with why did this happen to me? You might be struggling with God. God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do wrong? Or I don't deserve it. I'm not that bad. Here's the invitation to accept the mystery of suffering and to go to God with your pain now and to trust God that He can turn it around and that He is doing something new and He is going to give you life again. Trust Him with it. You might be at a place where you don't want to mourn. You don't want to go there. And you think and you say, I've just got to stay positive. And I'm not going to allow any negativity. But by that way, you are ignoring the deep need in your soul to mourn. And to let go, to accept your loss eventually. And if you don't do it, you'll be surprised by your emotions. You'll be overcome unexpectedly, cry or do something very silly because you don't honor the raw material in your soul. You might be at the place where you got stuck in the morning and you can't let go. It's as if you can't get up. Here's a wonderful proverb. Proverbs 24:16, where the proverb says, the righteous man falls 7 times, but every time he gets up again. You only need to get up 1 more time after you've fallen, just 1 more time, and start with something small. For some of us, it's a big challenge, and sometimes we just need somebody alongside us, to help us, to take our hand, to encourage us to get up and to start doing something small and experience how the new life, the new vision comes into our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the life that you've given us, precious. And sometimes it can be so hard for us. In times of big loss, when we lost our baby, when we lost our dream, help us. Help us to trust that this is not the end and that you can turn it around and give us new life again. Help us to mourn, to let go of the past, and help us to start with the little things in life that gives us life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in this coming week. Amen.